Do you live in the middle of nowhere and feel separated from the church?
Yeah, that's me.
Or do you think the church is out of touch?
Absolutely.
Then this podcast is for you. Coming to you from the Diocese of Sioux City.
What? Where the hell is Sioux City?
Welcome to Outcast Catholic with your hosts, Father Shane Demon and Father Travis Crotty.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to Outcast Catholic. I'm Father Travis Crotty.
And I'm Father Shane Demon.
It's good to be with everyone. And always, Father Shane, it's good to be with you here via...
Yeah, I'm glad we can connect again. It's been a couple of weeks, but...
It's been...
It's good to link.
You know, it's graduations... Right. This might have been one of the smoothest connections we've had, which is kind of a rare treat these days, but I think we're finally getting it. We got the hotspot on the phone going because the Central Catholic Office's Wi-Fi isn't the sharpest here in Sioux City, but it's okay. We got Verizon's helping us out, which is really good. It's nice. Father Shane, it's graduation season in Northwest Iowa, as it is across the country.
Right.
That affects both of us. Mm-hmm. Me on the high school level, you for the first time on the seminary level.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Have you guys already had
graduation? Yeah, graduation for the guys with getting their master's degrees or finishing the pre-theology philosophy program. That was on Saturday morning, and guys quickly emptied out of here. They scatter like cockroaches. And we're just eager to get home. And
so you are in an empty seminary now, huh?
Well, Glennon, the college guys are still here. Okay. They finish up with their graduation ceremony on this coming Friday night. But the faculty is still here. We've had 3 days of faculty meetings just processing the year and planning for next year already. The admissions committee is working because we still have all the applications coming in for next year. So there's plenty to do. But it is emptying out. The
excitement of, and I could just say this from many years of experience, right? Especially as diocesan seminarians, there's this eagerness to return to the diocese kind of for a little homestay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if guys are going off to language studies or for IPF, you know, mm-hmm. different experiences, but there's an excitement to get back home. While there's an excitement to be at the seminary with the brothers as diocesan men to get back to your diocese, it's almost like those cartoons where, like, you run so fast, the shoes kind of stay where they're at. You know, it's like that. Yeah, that departure. It's like you cannot leave the seminary at the end of the year fast enough.
Yeah. Well, you're guys who are just kind of maybe tired of community living with 120 men, guys who are tired with the stress of graduate academic work, and then the desire to get home and see friends and family and be rooted in your own diocese. You merge all that together, and boom, they're out the door.
Yeah, it is a quick departure. Yeah,
yeah,
that's good.
But, yeah, I don't blame them.
I did not get to experience graduation at Kenrick. COVID kind of happened with that.
Yeah.
It's funny, we just, over our Zoom calls, we just finished a class, one just kind of obscure Thursday, and that was it. Like, that mm-hmm. was the end of my, seminary formation, as it were. Mm-hmm. And then there was a hope to have kind of something in the fall, the next year, and then because of continued COVID complications, that was canceled. And then there mm-hmm. was the hopes to have this alumni day reunion thing, and then that was canceled. And eventually the diplomas just showed up in the mail. So with zero pomp and circumstance. So I'm glad we're back to the normal experiences of that.
Yeah, it was a nice liturgy. Archbishop Rozanski was here, the local archbishop, and the ceremony was very dignified after Mass, but it was nice.
Yeah, I got to experience the two things you would have done a lot. Marian Day, the May crowning. Mm-hmm. That was exciting. That was beautiful. May crowning with kind of a recognition of the kind of seniors, you know, that was kind of happening there in the caps and gowns mm-hmm. there. And then we had the baccalaureate mass recently, which was also exciting, kind of jam-packing St. Mike's Church. But you got to love it. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, Father Shane, in your, you know, many years of priestly ministry. Not a lot of folks use incense, you know, on a regular basis. You guys at the seminary use it on Sundays, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I experienced that throughout my time in seminary, that progressive solemnity, you know, using incense. And, my brother priest who were there, they got to experience it too. But, you know, we popped from St. Michael's, your home parish there, Father Shane. We popped from through the day chapel into the, just for a moment, into the parish hall. And mm-hmm. then into the side door of the processor round. They're behind the students and the faculty all in their academic regalia. And let's just say I imposed the incense about 3 feet too soon. And we're waiting there in the doorway. And I told the MC, I said, hey, let's just wait. Let's let the academic, you know, folks get into their pews. Then we'll kind of process and to begin the liturgy. and we set the fire alarm off. So,
oh, in the parish hall?
In the parish hall. So thankfully, there was enough, I think, buffering of the sound, you know, from the doors that I don't think it was that distracting. And Father Dave Heeman was on it, and he ran somewhere and took care of it that eventually it turned off. But thank of course, that is the most classic thing, is setting off fire alarms with incense.
No, I'm sorry.
So there we go. It was an exciting way to, you know, start our festivities of the Baccalaureate Mass. So.
Yeah, that'll get your blood pressure raised as you're starting Mass and fire alarms are going off.
Oh, yeah, huge, yeah, annoying thing. Oh. Yes. Well, speaking of, you know, seminary formation, Father Shane, you got a lot of it. I got a lot of it. And now you're just back in the throes of it, you know. Mm-hmm. On the other side of it, you were on the diocesan side of things in the vocations office for years, and then here. This first year you've been at the seminary, right? You talked about those evaluations, and we were chatting a few episodes ago of the process of formation that a man receives in seminary. And it's, you know, I was just recently with one of our seminarians at a high school and just kind of doing the typical vocations visit to a high school or a parish faith formation program. There's always the question of, well, what is seminary, right? We know that these guys, they decide they want to be a priest. They hear the Lord's call. They discern that through a process of, you know, prayer, discernment, discussions with a spiritual director, with a vocations director, and they just kind of disappear from the diocese, as we just said, you know, fly back with haste back to the diocese over the summer. But we don't get to see what's happening at the seminary, right? We don't often know what's going on. And maybe some people who've had friends, who've had family members who've been in seminary know a little bit more. But what I was impressed to see when I got to seminary, and what was most impressed upon me throughout my time of seminary, was how broad and integrated formation of a man to be a priest really is. You know, I think so often from the outside, it just looks like an intellectual formation. But we mentioned a few episodes ago that it is something more. So we have these different dimensions, used to be called pillars, right? These different aspects of formation of a man to become a priest, because as people, there are different dimensions, different aspects of our lives, right? We're all one, mind, body, soul, but there's different aspects of our life. There's our spiritual component, our relationship with God, but that interacts with our academic experiences, the kind of apostolic ministry, the pastoral experiences that we have. But I think what was really helpful for me in seminary, what I think is still helpful for me as a priest that I'd like to continue to grow in, but I think what would be really helpful to chat with folks today is that aspect of human formation. That was, you know, introduced to me years ago in the seminary, and that, you know, hopefully we're working with for men. Father Shane, if you were to talk to a new man going to seminary, how would you kind of define this idea of human formation?
Well, human formation can be considered kind of the vessel that carries all the other dimensions of formation. The way that your humanity is in terms of your overall health of mind and body, the way that your personality presents itself as a way that can be a bridge to lead Christ to others and others to Christ and not a stumbling block, all of that becomes the vessel by which they can understand, you know, your intellectual formation, your spiritual formation, your pastoral formation. People encounter us in our humanity first. So the way that our personality presents, hopefully professionally, overall hygiene, for example. All of this...
always a popular experience with seminarians.
Right. I mean, just even the most basic things of human formation, of how we present ourselves as healthy professional people, that goes a long way as to just people experiencing us as virtuous people. Mm-hmm. Is this a virtuous man that we're getting in seminary? Is he a Catholic man? Mm-hmm. And if so, then can we help mold him to receive the gift of priesthood and lay that great responsibility, but that great gift on his shoulders as he goes out to be an evangelist, a gospel preacher, and an administrator of the sacraments? None of that can happen unless there's a healthy humanity there to uphold that.
Yeah, and just as I experienced so well, there's no cookie-cutter mold. Like even though you say it mold, right? There's no cookie-cutter mold for a priest. I think what's really important for all of our listeners is that there's no cookie-cutter mold of a Christian, but the formation that we receive through a relationship with Jesus Christ, it should change us, right? And we should grow and grow and be formed more fully into Christ himself, right? Mm-hmm. Like Christ reveals man to himself, reveals what it means to be human. We hear that in Gaudium et Spes in the Second Vatican Council. And there's one aspect of human formation that was so helpful for me, and that's what, you know, the church is teaching documents about priesthood formation calls affective maturity, mm-hmm. right? That I can grow as a man, as a person, in a mature way of understanding my emotions, my thoughts, my feelings, my desires, right? And then living as a virtuous person, you know? But there's that, this threefold or maybe fourfold way of talking about the growth and affective maturity that's been so helpful for me. And it's been on my mind and my heart a lot recently because a lot of folks talk about how they want to see young people, you know, kind of grow in the quote unquote faith. And it's kind of so vague sometimes. And I think it's vague because we don't actually know what we're talking about when we say that. We want people to grow in their faith. We want them to have a more of a committed relationship with the church, with her teachings, with her sacramental life. We want to see families being kind of built up in virtue, praying together, like being kind, right? Building up a Christian community in the kingdom of God. But what does that actually look like? Well, if we just think, you know, becoming a priest is just like making the, you know, taking a man and making him grow in his quote unquote faith until he gets to some level of, you know, you know, ultimate level of faith that he, you know, can be ordained a priest. That would be so, that'd be such a shallow experience of formation. So these three mm-hmm. experiences that were presented to me that continue to be presented to men for formation of the priesthood is this process of self-awareness, self-acceptance, and then, like you said, Father Hazing likes to add self-possession, self-acceptance, self-possession, and self-gift. But mm-hmm. self-awareness, self-acceptance, and self-gift was the kind of model of affective maturity and growth in maturity, growth in human formation that I received, that I'm still receiving. But as I talked to high schoolers recently, I recognize, I think that's maybe the lack there, right? We see a lack of participation in the faith, right, with young people. And I know, Father Shane, it was really important for you that you saw growth in human virtue, not just sort of practice of the faith. You know, but I think all of us can benefit from that experience and that growth. Am I growing in a self-awareness of what's actually happening in my life, my own thoughts, my feelings, my desires about things? Am I coming to a deeper and a deeper self-acceptance of who I am as a beloved son of God, right? As a beloved daughter of God, finding myself where I do in my family, in my relationship, in my vocation, in my job, in my schooling, a greater self-acceptance of where I find myself so that I can make a greater self-gift. You know, at the end of this semester, everybody always talks about senioritis that happens. I was chatting with some juniors recently at a different school, and what I recognized was often in a moment of transition in life, especially with students kind of in high school, there's a lack of self-awareness of that transition is actually affecting me. And there's not a self-acceptance of kind of what's going to happen, right? There's a lot of nostalgia of the past that all of a sudden is stirred up. And because of that, because there's a discomfort that's present in the transition, there's actually not a lot of self-gift. And then a lot, you know, the opposite is selfishness. And that's kind of what we group together and call senioritis. But we don't just stop experiencing transitions in our life when we graduate high school or graduate college, but we keep experiencing transition. I think for all of us, whatever transition we might be experiencing, not unlike that transition we made from high school to just kind of the rest of our life, we need this process, self-awareness, self-acceptance, self-gift, to kind of accompany that transition.
Yeah, I think that threefold division that you speak of is very helpful. It's really key for all age groups, and it's really key for anyone who's going to practice their faith sincerely. Father, I know we've all experienced this as priests. Sometimes you meet people in pastoral counseling sessions, maybe in the confessional, and they certainly have not come to maybe any sort of self-possession or self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're beating themselves up over a mistake from 20 years ago. Maybe they feel like they can't forgive themselves for a sin that's been committed.
Or a habitual thing that keeps coming up, right?
Right. So sometimes we see in pastoral settings a real breakdown in self-possession. And if we can't accept ourselves, well, how do you come to a deeper sense of faith that God actually is embracing you as a loving father? Mm-hmm. How do you actually accept that gift that he accepts you? That takes a you know, tremendous surrender of love and faith to be able to do that in a hopeful sense of trust. But then even the previous dimension, being just self-aware, you know, you mentioned seniors who might not be aware of the feelings that are being stirred up in them, whether that's nostalgia or whether that's woundedness, you know, that an institution might have caused them, and now they're on the brink of departing that. that self-awareness has to be at every single stage of our Christian journey. Are we really aware of how the liturgical seasons are speaking to us? Are we really aware of how Scripture is speaking to us? Are we really aware of maybe how our personality, our traits, our characteristics is speaking into our reception of the gospel, whether that's positive or whether that's really negative? That lens of being really self-aware of how I am and how I meet Christ within that and come to self-awareness and self-possession with Jesus in that, in a trusting moment of vulnerability, through the depths of my own prayer, through the depths of my own sacramental life, that has to be there. Otherwise, the Christian journey is going to get quite stifled, and there really isn't going to be that progressive growth. It's going to be deeply integrated such that the thoughts and the feelings in the heart are really matching our external expression of Christian discipleship.
I think what's so cool, too, when we've talked about prayer in the past, and so many people we talk to, so many listeners, they're eager to learn how to pray. And that seems to be a typical experience of Catholics who, you know, received the sacraments and received like kind of the Christian life. They know what rules to follow. They might know how to go to Mass, you know, how to perhaps even go to confession more regularly. But there's kind of a lack of, well, how do I actually engage prayer, right? How do I use the tools that the church has and its kind of wealth? And we've talked before about that kind of relational prayer being a process of acknowledging, relating, receiving, and responding. But even that first step of acknowledging and being then able to relate those things that I'm acknowledging, my thoughts, my feelings, and desires to God, that needs to be predicated on an experience of awareness of myself, of just where I find myself right now in my life, that I can then actually relate that to God, right? That I can actually give myself to God. And it's cool to see how integrated we are as people and how God, I love this line, right, that God gives according to our mode of receiving. And so the more and more integrated we can be in our whole, you know, as a whole person, the more we can actually receive what God has to give us, you know? So it's just so helpful to have these tools, just like you're giving kind of best practices in your job or, you know, students who are going off to college right now, who are in college or in grad school. You know, we're given these specific tools to be able to do our jobs well, right? But I think what's been so helpful for me and Father Shane, I'm hopeful right now with you in seminary formation is that, you know, with seminary formation, we're given tools not to just be good priests. You know, we're not just given all these like tools in our tool belt to just pull out then in pastoral ministry. That can be an analogy that's used sometimes, but that's not it at all. Like the hope is that we're being configured more and more to Christ. And if we can see that happening in seminary formation, man, we'd love to see that happen in the whole of Christian life, right? Because there's not so many priests, right? But there's a lot of lay faithful who have the same capacity to grow in an experience of self-awareness, self-acceptance, and self-possession so as to make a gift of self, right?
Which speaks to the depths that faith can touch us in a very incarnational way. The faith doesn't rest in a mind just as a notion or as a concept. It becomes all-embracing. And for us to allow ourselves for Christ to embrace us, we certainly have to be willing to do that with ourselves and our own self-awareness and acceptance. So,
so I think that would just be a great place of maybe just journaling, you know, or even just like thought with the summer with a lot of people. I know for some folks this means more things happening, right? With kids going off to, you know, baseball, softball, little league, things like that, family vacations that are coming up. But hopeful for that, some people just with like the beautiful days outside, right? With this seems to be sometimes more of an experience of rest, right? Hopefully having that time of rest. And in those moments of rest, allowing a space for some of this self-reflection to become more aware of what's happening in my life right now. And hopefully to pray for a greater acceptance, right? And I think that biggest, you know, that key is getting back to our fundamental identity, right? Yes, you know, kind of we usually start with like what our job and what our work is and like what we're responsible for, right? And those of you who are mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, right? Those of you who are committed in family relationships, but most fundamentally our identity as beloved sons and daughters of God, right? And that acceptance of that place where we're at in our weakness, right? With our failings, in our own sinfulness, but in the hope of what God can do for us, how he can actually bring us to a place of healing and growth, then it can actually become an exciting place to not just look inwardly in a kind of a melancholic slump of saying, well, I'm never going to change, but to say, oh, wait, if Christ reveals what it means to be human to me, then I can hope that there's a growth, that I can actually come to a place with him to make a gift to myself, you know, along with him as well. That's the hope. That's the joy that we continue to celebrate in this Easter season, you know, going on into Pentecost whenever this episode will air. And there's a hope that God always has a plan for us to continue to be formed, to be more and more like his son, Jesus.
Good thoughts, Father. Thanks for sharing. It's always nice to take the fruits of what we're doing in the church with seminary formation and share that more broadly so that everyone can grow and flourish together. Thanks for your insights.
Likewise, Father Shane, everybody. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. Send your questions and comments to outcastcatholic@gmail.com. Catch you next time, and God bless.